I wish you that you really can make best use of the time with the devotees here in Goloka Dham. I see there's a garland coming. Thank you so much. Wow. Hari Bol. Thank you. I'm always thinking that it is for most of us a very rare opportunity to come and be in the Sangha with devotees. It's most of us are very much overwhelmed by our daily life, by perhaps the work or the study at the university, and we don't have so much opportunity for this. So I'm always encouraging everyone to make really best use of the time, and also be gentle on their physical, gross physical body and subtle body, that means on the body and the mind. Keep yourself in the most receptive mood you can be. Take enough rest. Also, outside of the sessions, I highly recommend that you move a little. We are in the midst of a nature-protected area. People pay a lot to come here and make walks. It's a dream of every nature lover to come to this part. It's called Hunsrück, in town. So please use the time to walk. Keep yourself in the and do everything to be very receptive. Good. This morning we have a Bhagavatam class, and it's called the Progressive Path. Which verse 6 we said? Yeah. We are right on time. Let me just get this here ready. Oh, God. Thank you, Parag. Old systems. Yes. So, your word today, Mr. Microphone, is balance, no? Stay like this. Good, Prabhu, and let us all sing Jai Radha Madhava. Prabhupada said about this particular song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that it is a complete, perfect, all-inclusive representation of the spiritual world. Jai, praise to Radha Madhava, Kunya Bihari, who are doing their pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan, where there are trees coming together and building these beautiful bowers or kunj. No? And it describes the pastimes, it describes Krishna's relationship to his devotees. So it opens the space, so to say, in modern yoga language. It opens in us the readiness and willingness that now it's time for me to concentrate on the spiritual reality.
Ah, Madhava Punya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Piri Varadaji Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadaji Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Nandana Ramuna Tera Vanachari Ramuna Tera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
My dear devotees, I want to this morning bring you from Germany to a beautiful and important conversation that took place at the banks of the Ganga. Maitreya Muni had arrived there. He had seen or witnessed the last conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. It was just, let us say, moments before Krishna left the planet Earth and went back to his supreme abode. At that time, Uddhava had found him sitting under a banyan tree in a very reflective mood. Krishna was about to wind up his pastimes here, and he had asked a few questions, and Krishna had told him a few secret spiritual things. Amongst these spiritual messages of Krishna was one Gita. We all know of the Bhagavad Gita, which was sung by the Lord, but here the Lord sang another Gita. It was the Uddhava Gita, which he wanted Uddhava to bring to the saints high up in the Himalayas, the Bhararika Ashrama. Krishna wanted, actually, while he was here on this planet, to meet all of the devotees, and he did so. So he saw all his devotees, except for one group of devotees, the saints and rishis who were in the Himalayas. So Krishna's time for leaving this planet had come. He had set this time. And in this way, he told Uddhava to be his messenger and tell the saints important knowledge. The Uddhava Gita, my dear devotees, those of you who are lovers of the Bhagavatam, it's a must read. It's extremely delightful. And Maitreya was witness there. He heard what transpired, and he also became a messenger for Krishna. Krishna told Maitreya, you will meet Vidura later at the banks of the Ganga and tell him I love him very much. Wow! Imagine you hear from someone that Krishna himself told his his declaration of love and affection. So Vidura met Maitreya. He has not yet heard this message that Krishna was thinking of him just before he left the planet. And he finds that Maitreya, he gets to know that Maitreya was there in this last moment, when Krishna was here, and he asked now Maitreya some questions, because he knows anyone who was invited by the Lord to be in that important discussion between him and his one of his foremost devotees, Uddhava, he is full of transcendental knowledge. So he asks him a few questions. And one of these questions, I feel, is an entry into what we try to do here at the Eastern Retreat. So this is a little bit the background. We will now hear Vidura's question. Let us first chanted in Sanskrit. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit, there's so many things here that I am, yes. So please repeat after me. I will immediately go to the line by line verse. Would you like to have a higher pitch? this is right.
Bhagavan Ekai Vaisha. Sarva Chetre Shavastita. Amushya Durbhagat Vamba. Kleshova Kamabi Kutaha. Bhagavan Eka Eva Esha. Sarva Chetre Shvavastita. Amushya Durbhagat Vamba. Kleshova Kamabi Kutaha.
Yes, please, someone else. One Vaishnavi, please.
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Ekaha,
alone,
Eva Esha,
all these,
Sarva,
all,
Chetreshu,
in the living entities.
Avastitaha,
situated.
Amushya,
of the living entities.
Dobhagatvam,
misfortune.
Va,
either.
Kleshaha,
miseries.
Va,
or.
Kamabihi,
by activities.
Kutaha,
what for? So, Vidura had asked Maitreya a question about the Lord. He had heard that the Lord created this world. Now he wanted to know, how is the Lord connected with the world? And then he asked Maitreya questions about the jiva, the living entities. Now both of these questions were in my mind, and I tested Prabhupada. I was not sure if I would take to the path of bhakti, because it required of me to give up certain things I was attached to at that time, and I thought in my mind, if I can show that Prabhupada is wrong, then I don't have to join. If Prabhupada is right, I have to join. This was my mental stipulation, so to say. So one of these questions is, which was in my question, it was a long question. Prabhupada answered it. I will tell you later how he answered it. But it was pertaining to the question, why are we suffering? Especially because we are part of God. We are divine. We are spiritual. We are perfect. No? Many times people say, let's become a better version of myself. What if you are already perfect, the best version, but you just can't access it? No? So I was convinced we are part of God, but then why are we experiencing so much confusion, so much misery? So here is the translation of this verse. So Vidura says,
nice
that you're enthusiastic, but I wanted to tell first the verse. The Lord as the super soul is situated in every living being's heart. Why then do the living entities' activities result in misfortune and misery? Now, do you understand? Lord is right there. Then why do we experience so much misery? He's just next to us. So Prabhupada's purpose is very telling. So this question by my Vidura to Maitreya is, why are the living entities subjected to so many miseries and misfortunes in spite of the Lord's presence in the heart as the super soul? The body is considered a fruitful tree, and the living entity and the Lord as super soul are like two birds situated in that tree. The individual soul is eating the fruit of the tree, but the super soul, the Lord, is witnessing the activities of the other bird. Now Prabhupada gives another example. A citizen of the state may be in miseries for want of sufficient supervision by the state authority. But how can it be possible that a citizen suffers from other citizens while the chief of the state is personally present? From another point of view, it is understood that the jiva, living entity, is qualitatively one with the Lord, and thus his knowledge in the pure state of life cannot be covered by nations. We are one with the Lord. Especially in the presence of the Supreme Lord. No, when there is the sun right next to you, how can darkness overcome you? How then does the living entity become subjected to ignorance and covered by the influence of Maya? The Lord is the Father and protector of every living entity, and he is known as the Bhuta Brit, or the maintainer of the living entities. Why then should the living entity be subjected to so many sufferings and misfortunes? It should not be so. But actually we see that it happens everywhere. This question is therefore put forward by Vidura for solution. Namo, please join me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askajare Satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The question, I think, is clear. If the father is just next to the child, how, and the father is all powerful, he's strong and capable, how can misery be experienced of the by the child? The father can chase away dogs who might want to attack the child. The father can quickly buy the child a little bread or something if the child happens to be hungry. If the child gets tired, the father will know he will either have his own car and we will create something like a temporary bed in the back seat of the car, or he will lay his little son under the shade of a tree. The presence of the father, there should be no misery. So if God is right there next to us, we should not suffer. Kuta, but why do we suffer? This is the question clear to you? What do you think about this question? Is it a good question? Have you sometimes asked this, why? I mean, if there is a God, why devotees die of cancer? Should the Lord not be able to protect the devotee? If the Lord is there, then why is there misery for the living entities? I asked this question to Srila Prabhupada very strongly. I put all my what little intelligence I had, very small amount, I admit, but I tried my best to present the question. Yes, and Prabhupada thought about the question. He didn't answer just on the spot like this. He thought for a moment and then he gave a brilliant answer, and this answer convinced me. I will become his disciple. I will learn from him. I will try to do. But let us see what Maitreya Muni says in answer to this heavy question. He says there is a problem in the living entity. It's called Atma Viparyayaha. We have created a problem. The living entity, so the verse here is Yat, it's verse number 10. Yat Atena Vinamushya Pungsa Atma Viparyayaha. Atma Viparyaya means upset about self-identification, or it means you identify with the wrong things. And Maitreya gives an example. The living entity is in distress regarding his identity, his self-identity. He has no factual background, like a man who dreams that he sees his head cut off. In the dream, although it's not factual, he sees something that gives him misery. And because he's absolutely identified with this scene, with this what happened, he is in this compromised position of being miserable. And in text 11, another example is given. When the moon is reflected on water and the water starts to tremble, then the moon also seems to be a trembling. And in the same way, the self, which is identified with matter, appears to be moved by matter. I heard this many times. I like somehow Bhagavatam, and I read this, but I did not understand the extent of this, really, when I had a dream. See, I have a favorite chatter. I obtained this chatter after 50 years of tapasya. It's ideal. It is good for I use it for everything. When I'm cold, when the bed is not warm enough, I put the chatter. Immediately it is warm. It is made from yak wood, you know, the same wool or wood from which our chamaras are made. It's made in Tibet. It's very, very warm. And when I came here in Goloka Dham, I had a dream, and in this dream I went here on this seat to give my lecture, and I placed the chatter somewhere at the side of the room. And when I had completed the lecture, I looked for the chatter, and it was not there. In my dream, I looked, I thought, well, maybe it's in the pujari room, and some pujari had seen it and placed it there where only one chatter is and not 10 other chatters, and in this way there could be no misplacement. I don't want to tell you the whole dream. It was a long dream. I think it took place one or two lifetimes. I looked for that chatter everywhere, and I couldn't find the chatter, and I felt misery. My dear devotees, somehow I have two chatters. It would not have been a problem, but in the dream I was so identified with my best Yak Tibet chatter that in the dream, I experienced profound misery. Now, I'm practicing 50 years Krishna consciousness. I am usually okay with things which I lose. I lose a lot because I move so fast, and I forget nowadays where I place these unimportant things. So it's all right, you know, or when we lose this or that. I was not even troubled when I heard our ashram would be sold. I thought, oh, Krishna's arrangement, then we lose the ashram, no problem, we will somehow not die. But in this dream, I was so out of my mind and just thought about the Yak Tibet super warm chatter, that I experienced the whole, you know, in the dream the time gets compressed, but I think I looked for a whole week in the temple room. I came back the next day and thought maybe the person who had mistakenly taken it, had seen this not my chatter, this is the chatter of someone else, and had placed it there. I think I looked for a whole lifetime for this chatter. Then, my dear everyone, somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I started to wake up, and when I woke up, the first thought was, I mean, why did I look for, why was I so aggrieved for this foolish chatter? I don't need such it. I can have another chatter. It's almost as warm. It's good enough. And the second thought is, my chatter is right here. It's not a problem. I dreamt all this. I was for some time in this misidentification, I mean, this attachment for this chatter, and therefore I suffered. I'm 72 years old. I'm supposed to be a person who is a little advanced. I have three initiations, my dear devotees. Yes, high initiations I obtained, and I'm in a dream which appears to be like a dry. A lifetime, totally out of my mind, because during that time when I was helpless, I was overwhelmed with another mindset. So this is what Maitreya explains, and he gives a solution. The solution is bhakti in devotional service. I will summarize his answer. He says, bhakti vanquishes this misconception. That misconception of self-identity can be diminished by Lord Vasudev's mercy. Vasudevanu kampaya. By the mercy of Krishna, you can wake up from this. And that by if you do devotional service, the Lord, and try to please Him, there is a good chance that you get Vasudevanu Kampaya. This means you may not be able to wake up on your own. You may be a jnani, a great yogi, but you may still maintain that attachment to your chatta. But this process of devotional service, Maitreya says, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogina, must be done in the mode of detachment, Nivritti Dhamena. In other words, do service for Krishna, try to please Him, and practice detachment by accepting what is favorable for Krishna and giving up what is unfavorable. If you do not practice detachment, if you leave this out, it may be that you remain an ordinary person. Despite all your activities, you may continue with your dream of chasing after your chatta, after your name, after your glory, after your recognition, after money, and so on. And then he says something what I personally think is also very good. In addition to this, you must practicing devotional service with detachment, he says, it's in text 14, and this is what we try to do here. Ashesha sanklesha shamam vidatte gunanuvara shravanam murare kimva punashtach charanaravinda Paraga seva rati atma lapta. It's text 14, and perhaps, I mean, we have the computer and an expert computer man. We can have the English, which is so very nice. Simply. It takes some time to activate the machine, Gaurahari. I'm asking you a question. Then
20 seconds we had it.
Good, 20 seconds. Good, then we wait. We can chant. Ashesha Sanklesha
Ashesha Sanklesha
Samang Vidatte
Samang Vidatte
Gunanuvada
Gunanuvada
Shravanam Murare
Shravanam Murare
Kingva Punastach Kim Brahmasya Charanaravinda Paragaseva Ratya Atma Lapta. So the translation is simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc., of the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Simply by this process, chanting the names, the glories, and hearing the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions can come. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving, serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. So it speaks here of two devotees. One is the devotee who has not yet developed taste, that he will be able to stop unlimited miseries just by chanting, even without taste, you know, just doing it and so on. After some time it will come, and then those who have taste and attraction for Krishna, they develop love by this process, no? Not just the dissolving of miseries. How can Maitreya Muni be so clear or so confident that this process is what works? You must know there is something in the holy name in Katha which starts to work on your consciousness, provided you are doing the process properly. This is called a Vastu Shakti that begins to work even despite of you being not yet so super advanced or advanced. Vastu Shakti is, for instance, a good example is fire. Fire will burn even an ignorant child. Or time, even though we may not think of time during some of the presentations, time is there and moves us in some ways. We are now on Friday. You will see, without you needing to do anything, without your influence, there will be Monday at some time. And this is happening by the Vastu Shakti of which is there in the time. It moves. So the holy name has also a Vastu Shakti, and it is the Shakti which the Lord has placed into it. He, Krishna, went to all the auspicious activity and took the Shakti which is there and placed it in the holy name. Do you know when you go on pilgrimage that you do feel some inspiration? Have you felt that when you're in Vrindavan? Yes? No?
Yes.
It works on you. Have you ever given donations?
Yes.
Do you feel when you give a donation to a worthy person, good. Something good was done. I'm not saying it with some hidden motive here. So on. Do you feel when you meet real devotees some happiness in the heart?
Yes.
Not sure?
Yes.
You're sure? Good. So all these potencies, also of Yagyas, Ashvamedhas, and Rajasuyas, and all this power which is there in knowledge, when we hear a new point Bahari Parshad, and there will be many, I can guarantee you, we feel light. Wow, this is very good. Krishna has taken all these and placed it into the holy name. There is a verse in the Skanda Purana, and it is placed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and the same verse is taken by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and placed in his Bhajan Rahasya. And he explains this word. He says, Krishna himself, Dama Yagya Yoga Jnane Jato Shakti Shila. No? Something like this. Those of you of Bengali language, they will laugh at me, I know. Shaba Hari Nama Krishna. They will say it a little bit like this. Swayam Samapila. Krishna himself placed all the powers found in Dharma, found in Yagya, all the powers found in Yoga, and all the powers which are found in spiritual study and knowledge. He placed all the powers in his holy name. My dear devotees, when you hear this, what do you think? Most of people who hear these think, oh, why don't I experience any of that? I don't know if you belong to this category. This question I had asked 25 years ago, why do I not experience this? Is this wrong? Is this maybe is this some Hindu understanding of reality which is not working for me? What is wrong here? I put this question, is the process wrong or am I doing something wrong? I found later something where Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur criticizes the normal kirtan which is done also in our movement. He says you do it wrong. He says kirtan is called sankirtan at the time when many people perform it together. But, it's a big but, will it be worthy of the name sankirtan if some worthless people without any enthusiasm for the service of Bhagavan come together to shout in unison? Wow, he gets really, really, really critical here. He says, when you may come together, but if you don't have the right bhava, the seva bhava, you may shout as long as and as loud as you wish. It cannot be called kirtan. It will be true Hari Sankirtan when we join the Sankirtan of true devotees who are serving Sri Bhagavan according to the principles established in the Vedas and elite Shastra. So they want to serve and they do things according to the Vedas and the elite Shastra. Meet elite, the connected Shastras. Contrastingly, it is not Hari Sankirtan when conducted for the prevention of the epidemics of cholera or pox, or when it's done for prosperity and trade, for gain or for respect. I would say in modern English for likes on my Facebook page. No? Such kirtan is Maya kirtan. Chanting within the jurisdiction of the illusory potency. So, I can only say from my experience, when I read, when I became aware that I'm chanting, but I don't get the results of chanting, and when I heard these things, I became very, very eager to find out how to chant properly. And I also understood that this knowledge is not something I learned once, like a university study. I found out that every day I should be interested to chant properly. And therefore what I do is I read a lot of in the scriptures. I hear internet presentations on the holy name, and I'm always make notes, because I do understand that I will not be able to cut through this misidentification where I dream, have these heavy dreams of material life, if I don't learn how to chant like this. There is one with this I would like to end. It is Bhajan Rahasya, the confidential secrets of Bhajan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his foreword to this work, says, "I saw my father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, chanting according to these guidelines." Excuse me. This happens in the family, no problem. And it's a guideline how to do it. And in this work, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the Mahamantra consists of how many names? 16 names joined in 8 pairs. The first pair, Hare Krishna, means the destruction of avidya and the chanting of Krishna's holy names with faith. And then he goes through all the 8 path and arrives finally at the last pair. What is the last pair of the holy names? Hari Hari, you know everything, yes? He says with the 8th pair, one is fixed in the identity of a gopi in Vrindavan attaining the ultimate goal of service to the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. Isn't that amazing? What Maitreya Muni sees the main problem, the not knowing who we are, you know, and identifying with something else, is cleared. According to my ceremony, you do service in the mood of detachment and you hear and chant. No? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur comprises this. He says, everything, all these processes which you might do, and he does not refer just to charity and yoga and knowledge, all this is in the chanting of the holy name, so that at the end of your journey, you will know who you are. You will be fixed in your self-identity as an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. My dear devotees, there are many, many examples of people who have reached this type of perfection. They don't speak about it normally, but if you stay for some time in Vrindavan and you get to know a few devotees who are chanting the Naam, you begin to see, well, they have attained the perfection which is spoken about. And I also want to say, my dear devotees, if Krishna just sees you want to learn this, you're eager to learn this art, you will become successful. There is one work, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you all know it, and at the end of the work, there was this narration. Something is described that got me very interested. Parikshit's departure from this world is described. Shukadev has finished reciting all the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. The recital is completed. And he has gotten up and he has moved on. And Parikshit Maharaj is now only moments before his death. He knows the way in which it will come. It will come through a mystical snake being, you know. And he's just sitting there, face, and wants to focus now. He knows the art of dying. Whatever is in your mind at the time of death, that is where you go. And at this moment, he really has no time. His mother comes, Uttara. She knows her son will die in a few moments. It's unavoidable. But she is a nectar searcher. She says, "My dear son, can you just give me a summary? What was told to you by Shukamuni? Can you just talk about it?" And she must know that this Bhagavad Katha is called Amritam, a nectar of immortality. Perhaps she heard that at the beginning of the recital of the Bhagavatam, the Devatas had come. They were not sure that they would live eternal. Maybe it doesn't work. They knew they would not live eternal, but they were perhaps not sure that they would live for a long time. And they said to Shukadev Goswami, "Why don't you come up to the Swaga and do the Katha there? Then we all hear it." And Sukadev said, no, I'm here for Parikshit Maharaj. They wanted to give him a huge bribe, a lot of gold. But Sukadev Goswami said, "No, you're the wrong. This is wrong here. Please don't disturb now." So she must know that this is Amrita, the nectar of immortality that is priceless. So she says to her son, "Please give me a summary." And then Parikshit Maharaj does a summary of a selection of verses from the Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasayana. It's known as Bhakti Rasayana. And then he gives a tip to his mother. "Mother," he says, "do anything you can. Be not at all indifferent to what I'm saying to you now. Bring yourself with all your might into the association of devotees and hear their katha." So this little thing, you know, be not indifferent, is perhaps what Krishna wants to see of us. Do you know the prize for bhakti? Lolium, it's eagerness. And this is something which you need to do on a daily basis. You need to see, what nourishment can I give to my fire of enthusiasm today to be eager for this nectar. This is an ongoing process. This is also in terms of chanting. What do I need now in my life so that I can chant in the way that my spiritual identity will be revealed through this process. Don't become a normal Hare Krishna. It's absolutely dangerous. These people think they know everything. I have met them on airports. You know, you try to talk to them and they know everything. And when you tell them maybe there's something you can improve, they get disturbed in their false ego. I've met them. Ooh, they can be very much in the ego platform when you try to help them. Don't become like this. This was the ironic German poetry. It's a little tough, I know. I will now stop this. I will say, Prabhus, Majesties, I request you to wake up from this misconception which makes all the suffering, these identifications, where you may be Mr. Swami and run around after your yak-tail chatter, you know, that only goes if you learn the process to do it properly. But if you learn it, the returns are amazing. And if you wake up from this dream, it is. You will go, you will look at your life and how could I be so worried? After 20 years I was still worried. After 30 years I was still worried. After 35 years I was still worried. But no need. It's only an illusory idea. So, during the time which you are here, please remain eager. Please remain eager to hear a lot. Yeah, I see some of you have your notebooks, both the computer notebooks and the normal, proper notebooks. The old-time notebooks, I wanted to say. And try to find out what is it perhaps that can give you this eagerness that is required in order to get the fruits of bhakti. This is what I wanted to say. Let me look. Oh, we are in time. I did not go by my guidelines here. I thought this is the first lecture. Let me do what was done in the old times. Preach to you. Nowadays, not so many speakers dare to do this any longer. But it needs to be done sometimes. My dear devotees, there are only two people who are happy in this world. What do you like to know about them? I have it here in the Bhagavata. Yaccha muda tamo loke yaccha mude param gata tavu bo sukam edete klesyatyan tarito jana. Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness. There's persons in between, that means who are not the lowest of fools and who are not transcendental to all intelligence, persons in between them suffer the material pangs. Would you like to know where that is and find and read Prabhupada's purport? Or is it too strong for you? No, not too strong. Good. Third canto, chapter 7, text 17. Oh, there it is described, the fools and the paramahansas. And all of us who are in between. So let us wake up. Let us wake up. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions at this stage? We have a few more minutes. I'm very determined to end on time. I see you. I can't. Yes, please.
My question is, Maharaj was speaking about the Vastu Shakti.
Yes.
It burns whether we know it or not know it.
Yes.
But on the other hand also, Maharaj was speaking about that there's a proper way to do it, and if it's not done properly, it doesn't, it's Maya Kirtan.
Yeah.
I'm not able to...
To bring the two together, yes, very good question. Have you understood the question? Maybe I repeat for the cameras. I was speaking about Vastu Shakti, the inherent potency that works without our knowledge. And then I was speaking about, on the other hand, that if you do the process, it may not work. Yes, did I give it properly? I was for a long time thinking about it, and the only way I can answer is the process works if you do the process. The process doesn't work if you don't do the process. And I would like to give you an example from my own life. As a child, I only liked to bathe in the ocean, in the strong waves, not in showers, not in bathing tubs. I did not like conventional bathing at all. But my mother forced me. So I found out a way how to bathe and not bathe. I went into the shower, I put the shower on strong, and moved just 20 centimeters away from the shower. The shower was coming down. I was standing there. I would come out, dressed in towel, you know, a kapata, a cheetah. And my mother would say, come here. And she would... What is this? You still smell. You know, German education, no problem. And did you hear the shower, mother? I thought that the shower was running. Yeah, but smell, take your arm and go and smell. I don't know. I the shower was running. I was in the shower. The mother said, I think you're cheating. The only explanation is the shower is running, but you are not under the shower. You are somewhere else. So that little example maybe from my own childhood can tell you, you need to be under the shower and not next to the shower. Therefore, the first rule in japa is mana sangharanam, collect the mind really and bring it there. When the mind is somewhere else and the mantra is here, it will not work. I'm sorry for this somewhat gross example, but that's the easiest way I could explain it. Hari Parshad would have perhaps a verse from the a scripture with perfect Sanskrit, but let me look at now. Yes, it is after 9. It's very important for us to that you have time. Here is our Gaura Hari, who will give us a very brief orientation. I thank you very much for listening. So carefully, and Hare Krishna.